I had a very good friend of mine who happens to be the producer of the show. She gave me a nudge in the right direction about getting some help because I was caring for my mum, which I'm currently doing. And she said there was a Zoom meeting that was going to happen and would I be interested? And I said, yeah, let me see if there's some more men that are doing what I'm doing. And there wasn't. So I ran into the wonderful partner in crime, Tony. And that the rest is history. We hit it off. I mean, it was great. And thanks to Tony and the people at the carer centre, it's been a great experience. So that's how this started.
And for me, as you can see, I'm not that technical, so I've just changed my name. I have been working at the carer centre for 12 years and worked my way up to a senior management role. But I'm also a carer now for my parents, so both my mum and my dad, and I kind of combine my work and my caring. And so it was great when it's very rare for me to do the stuff I do at the carer centre and then engage with men. So when they come along, they're rare. They're like rare birds. They come along a bit infrequently, and we just hit it off, didn't we, Lloyd? So
yeah. Procrastination course, wasn't it?
You were on a workshop for procrastination. Yes. So part of my role is I work with partners to develop activities and workshops that are relevant to unpaid carers and to carers in the Tower Hamlets, and that's why our mutual friend. She was on it and she encouraged you to join. And then when we got going, I encouraged you to register at the carer centre. And then the rest is history, as they say.
What I'm liking about the carer centre is that, you know, the facilities that you offer, like I've been on a meditation course, there was the hip hop dance course, like this stuff I didn't know even existed. I didn't know there was help. So I'm really glad that I found you and found the course, and that I took the nudge, I took that leap of faith and jumped in. So thanks. Yeah,
it was a leap of faith for you, wasn't it? Because I remember when we first met and we had a good chat, and you were surprised about what the centre offered.
Yes.
And more importantly, I think you were surprised about being a carer, I think, in full facts about being a carer. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's the thing that I come across is it's about, there's a process for me when I meet carers, and it's not just men, it's women as well, is that you've got to explain what a carer is and why I feel you are a carer. Yeah. And then you've got to acknowledge you're a carer and understand what that actually means.
Yeah.
And then that's one part of the process. And then you've got to kind of think, how does that marry up with my life? My caring role, and can I then engage in the centre? What is it for you? How do I engage? And then, oh, actually, I've got to look after my well-being as well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So there's
I think that's the reason I joined the centre. Was one, I took the leap of faith because it was something I'd never done before, but I didn't know it existed, and two, I didn't know carers could be cared for. If that makes sense, like, you know, And having a group of people that it wasn't just, it feels like you're caring, like you're on a battle by yourself, I feel. And until you meet other carers, then you realize, well, there's loads of people in the world that are doing this and they don't even realize that they're doing it, or they're just doing it without thinking. You can have a rest, or you can have a meeting once a week and chat with other carers, or, you know, you can go to a meditation center, or you can learn about procrastination. You can learn how to, you know, get on with your life as well as caring, and the two are combined. And I didn't know that really coexisted. So that's the reason I think I really joined the centre, and it's really opened my eyes to a lot that I didn't know about care. You know, just caring in general, like you said, for well-being and your mental state. So I think that's what makes what you guys do so great.
So from my perspective as the Wellbeing Academy manager, my ethos, or how I look at it, is there's a few things, which is you've got to maintain good emotional and physical well-being to be able to undertake the caring role. And I know that now, even more so from my own caring experience. So I work Monday to Friday, and then I spend all day on a Saturday doing a caring role. You know, I do all the stuff from remotely all week, but actually physically. And so I only have Sundays off. if I'm lucky. Yeah. And so I know that physically it's quite a lot. It's a lot to take on.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And emotionally, it's definitely. I mean, it's like we can touch on emotionally another time.
That's another podcast.
It's another podcast. But a carer is a family member or a friend, okay, who looks after somebody who couldn't manage without their help. And that's the classic definition. Do you know what I mean? And anyone can be a carer, and you can care for anybody. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We have lots of parents that are carers of people with learning disabilities or autism, physical disabilities, people with drug and alcohol issues. The broadest range of mental health issues.
Quite broad as well. I didn't realise how broad it was.
Yeah. So the Carer Centre works with carers of anybody who cares for somebody 16 or over.
Right.
Okay. And that's our remit. You know, but we have carers, and we have a young adult carers group, but we have carers that are 85 or 90 themselves. Wow. They're 90-year-old and they're carers. And they care for, their spouses or somebody like that. But I always say, our role at the Carer Centre is to make the life of the carer the least stressful it can be.
Well, thank you for that.
That's roughly what we try and do. Do you know what I mean? But that's not, being a carer is stressful. There's no two ways about it. Do you know what I mean? And not all the time, but you have stressful points.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you must.
That's why you don't, like I said, I didn't realize I was a carer. Till obviously meeting our good friend Chandrika as well and realising, and then talking to yourself as well, it kind of like rubber stamped it for me to go, well, actually, this is now part of my life and this is what I'm doing, whether I liked it or not. It's just kind of like you step into the role, and for people like yourselves and myself and other carers, you don't think twice. There's no way you turn around and go, oh, I'm not doing this because of this and this. It's like, okay, this has now happened, and I'm dealing with it straight away. And I think that's what makes carers care. But like I said, the thing that I would like to say is that I don't want that just to be my life. And I think that's what you guys promote, is that you're not just a carer, like the grey kind of I'm just here to look after someone.
Are you saying that because of my colour hair, not just grey?
I'd have gone more with silver or white.
Oh, right, yeah, silver.
For those at home that can't see, and one day when we start recording, you're going to see Tony's immaculately well-kept white beard and lovely hair. So,
the guy that always plays Santa at the Christmas party.
I don't have that luxury of being able to, do hairstyles anymore. My head is nice and shiny and bald. So I do have a beard. And it's starting to get some grey hairs in it. So just so you can paint kind of a visual picture of us.
So one thing I will say, and something you really just touched on there, and it did remind me that, is part of our work as well is to try and encourage and embed or an understanding for carers is that there is life outside of care.
Yes,
there is. Do you know what you mean? So yes, your caring role can take up all your time or, a large proportion of your week, if you were to mount it up in hours. But, there is life outside of caring, and it's important to make sure that whatever way you do it, you need to take some time out of your caring role for you.
Yeah, and I think that's, that's important to be, you're being selfless, but also you can afford to be selfish. Like, you've got to have some time for yourself, otherwise you'll burn out, and then that's it can be 10 times worse, can't it, that experience? So to know that you're allowed to have a break as well, that's a good thing to know, I think.
Yeah. Without being coming down the professional route, what I will say is that at the end of the day, if you do burn out, then there's two people that need to be looked after, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
The person that you've been caring for and you. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that shouldn't happen, because everybody needs support, everyone needs care, everyone needs looking after. But it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, if you burn out, then you've got extra stress when you think, who's looking after the person I look after?
That you're supposed to, I think what I've discovered with getting to know you guys is that you don't have to burn out. Like, you can see from other carers, I can see signs of, okay, this is all encompassing, like, you know, this is, it's like a tsunami, but there is a way to get on top of the wave. There is a way to take a little bit of time out, and you're allowed. And I think maybe what I got from Summer Heroes is it felt like at first there wasn't any time until they came upon your group, until they came upon what the Care Centre did. It saved me in lockdown. And I haven't said this to you or Chandrika, but it gave me other things to do, like being trapped inside your house and then looking after, you know, looking out for my mum. That was hard enough as it was, but also then being restricted. Then there was COVID. Then there was, you know, you can't go out, and then you don't want to bring that home to your spouse. Like, it was mad. So meeting you guys sporadically once every week and, you know, on Zoom calls, it was fun. It was a nice escape, and it was a place to talk. So thanks for that, Chandrika.
I mean, I think we should acknowledge the fact that during the lockdowns and COVID, being a carer and the things I've seen over 12 years is a lot. It's a big part of your life. You take a lot of time to be a carer and put the effort in. But when COVID came along, and we should acknowledge this, because I was amazed at how amazing carers were, because they pulled up the drawbridge. They said to everybody, no thanks. They took on that extra role. They were isolated. It was 24/7. And there were, it was so much more. And
yeah, it's intense.
It was intense.
Really intense. And I think, really intense.
And what I will say is that, I can't say anything more than this. I'm very proud of the Care Centre, because we never shopped. We always supported everybody. Yes, it was online. But, you know, I had to turn the Carers Wellbeing Academy into an online academy in about 2 days.
But I think it was like a shining light, almost, you know, like a lighthouse when there's choppy seas. Yeah. Like, it was that kind of thing. It I don't know, maybe because it was lockdown, but it gave me something to look forward to weekly. It was a chuckle, it was a laugh. And then when we finally got to go to the meditation centre in Bethnal Green, it blew my mind, because the people that I'd met for such a long time, you got to see physically. So that was really cool.
Yeah.
So the yoga was amazing. And I didn't know that there was a Buddhist centre in Bethnal Green. So everyone, there's a Buddhist centre that sits right in the heart of Bethnal Green. And I didn't know it was there. And I'm an East Londoner. I've lived here all my life, and I didn't know it was there. And when I walked into this place, Tony, you've been there before, but I hadn't. And it was so calming. It was so, the lady's voice was beautiful. She's a beautiful instructor. And then it was just to be there in the room, people. And eventually the stresses started to feel like they were just falling away. And they did this thing at the end where they put a blanket over you and you can fall asleep. And I literally, for about 10 minutes, this lady started snoring next to me, like really loud. She'd actually gone, like it was so quiet, so just so peaceful. So that's another thing. The yoga class was brilliant, and I can't wait to do more of those. So that was an experience, because I've never done yoga before, and it gave me an experience, chance to do it, and I got to do it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it and nearly fell asleep. So it was great. So
I mean, from my perspective, I've done a bit of yoga. I'm not that supple, I must admit. Okay. I could be better. But but what I do think, from what I gather, is it's a great thing. It's grounding, mindfulness, you're taking time out. It's good to stretch. One of the things I've heard about aging well and aging better is, you know, a key to aging better is movement and stretching and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I would also say that it probably will help with your caring role if you have to do manual handling.
I didn't even see that one. But yeah, that would help. Because also you're building core strength, so you're kind of, and I'm sure that yoga and well-being, it's about your internal self as also as your external self. And it's kind of like, if you feel good within, then obviously you might radiate that greatness out. So I think that it was brilliant, because I always wanted to do yoga. It was a good introductory class. She was really, really just lovely, like really no one felt out of place. Like even if you couldn't do the exercise, there was a way, they had the blocks on the floor. It's just brilliant. I really enjoyed it. So
brilliant. I'm glad you did, because just to let you know that the due to the feedback and the success of the taste course, we are now doing a weekly session, and that starts at the beginning of June. And nice. There we go. So that will run until the end of March, as we can see it so far, of next year. So
I should be nice and supple by next year.
Yeah, and you'll be in the Olympics next year.
It's a great experience. Please sign up. It's great. You know, if you're in the borough of Tower Hamlets, where because that's where we're from. And there's more centres like yours in other boroughs, because I think it's just a great experience to know that it's there, and to know that there is support, and to know that there is, that some of the stuff you were telling me about grief counselling and stuff like that, I didn't know all of this stuff even existed. So this is brilliant. And I can't wait for future pods to find out more information about what you guys do at the Care Centre and what, you know, what we're going to talk about and the topics. So that'd be great if people could even, you know, send in some questions.
Well, I mean,
I love guests. We'll have guests.
Well, you know, we have the podcast, don't we? And we have the blog. The blog tells you on a more immediate, like, you know, a weekly basis. So, you know, look, always look out for the blog on the website, because that's coming up. Don't forget the blog.
Don't forget the blog.
And just to say, that blog, going back to, so circling back around, that blog started out as a blog on COVID and information carers. So, because there was a lot of misinformation initially. So this is about a blog and information and just looking after yourself during COVID. And then because it was so successful, it moved into a much more generic, widespread blog about everything. You know, I research all the time and looking at, you know, when it's World Down Syndrome Day and that kind of stuff. So it's tried to make it as most inclusive as possible. But yeah, so you're right, you know, and I love feedback. And that's a great way for parents to feedback to me about, maybe, you know, I've just had loads of feedback from people about what some courses that they want to do in the future.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. You gave us kind of options within the Zoom, like, well, what do you guys want to do? And there was always like a couple of options and then we got to choose. So that was also kind of like, you feel involved. And I think that's what I like about the Carer Centre. You're letting carers help make the choices of where, what you're doing and what courses you're doing. So I think that's really nice. Instead of it just being kind of top down, oh, this is what we do and this is what you're doing, because we know what we're doing and you don't know. But it was really good.
One of the things that we decided we were going to talk about today, wasn't it, Lloyd, was about what it's like to be a male carer.
Yes.
So I suppose it's a difficult one for me, because I do look at it from two sides, which is...
Yeah, you've got two heads. Yeah.
I have got two heads. I know it's that big. It looks like two heads. Yeah. But
I'm just a metaphor speaking.
I look at it from what it's, you know, so from my perspective on a professional level, it was always difficult to reach out to men,
yeah,
you know, who might be in a caring role, or for men to even acknowledge they're in a caring role, you know? And that was always a tricky area for me on a professional level. But then obviously, you know, in the last sort of 18 months, I've assumed a caring role as a man, you know what I mean? So, and I share it with my sister, because there's only us two, and, you know, for both my mum and dad. It's interesting because, you know, I'm looking at it like that. It's difficult, you know what I mean? I do find, it's really weird, isn't it? So I find that I do take a lead from my sister in a way, because my sister's a senior care worker. She's worked in care as well. So, I mean, my parents are quite lucky that they've got an advocate and a care worker helping them out. They've got all bases covered. But and what I do know is not everyone has that. And, that you know, we're, my mum and dad are not lucky, but you know what I mean? It's handy. It's handy for them.
So did that start? Is that what kind of give you that drive to say, okay, I'm going to help other carers, so to speak? Or what kind of gave you, what made you, one, being a professional so long, and two, kind of what gave you that drive?
Because... I'll tell you where my drive came. So when I was a lad, I'm the oldest, my sister's younger. My sister had leukemia. So I supported my parents and my sister as a lad. And I genuinely think, when I think about it now,
been a carer.
I think so. And then I think that's where I kind of thought, ooh, do you know what I mean? Because I did contemplate being an art, you know, graphic designer. And then I was at school and in the sixth form, and they said, we can't give you work experience as graphic designer. We've got 2 weeks. You can have 2 weeks in the local psychiatric hospital. I went, all right then.
I'll do that.
And then at the end of it, that was it. I knew what I wanted to do, and I've worked in social and health ever since, you know? Yeah, and I've done it over 40 years now, I've been working.
That's crazy, because so my story, that's funny, because you wanted to do graphics. I kind of do motion graphics now, and I wanted to do product design when I was growing up. So that's mad, that is, because we couldn't I couldn't go to do, I couldn't go to a product design firm, but I went to a firm in Camden Town that made light bulbs. And right. that kind of, that still gave me the enthusiasm to be it. But my role as a carer,
I'm going to say this, you didn't have a light bulb moment.
Yeah, that eureka moment. No, it didn't work like yours. So mine came about that my mum was a carer. So my mum has worked in the profession for a long time. And then she got retired from work for health reasons. So I discovered when I was about 15, through a conversation, through a crack in the door, my mum was talking to a friend and they were having a discussion about an enlarged heart. I didn't know what that was at 15, and high blood pressure. I didn't know what that was at 15. So that was always in the back of my mind. And then subsequently I got married and had kids, and what was happening to my mum, she's having blackouts and not really telling me. And it was kind of dangerous. She goes to work at 5 o'clock in the morning, and then she didn't really want to tell me because I'm an only child, maybe. So I've come into the situation almost blind, but looking at other friends of mine that have parents have had dementia and passed away, and just watching what they do. And then I'm going, hold on a second, I'm doing a similar thing. And this is maybe something that we all have to do as life goes on, if you're that kind of caring kind of person. Not everyone has what you have, Chandrika has. And some people, some people can't handle it. So that's how I fell into it. And my mum's, I think she's losing her hearing, but she doesn't want to wear a hearing aid. Right. So then you have to kind of talk or shout sometimes. So it's that role. And then it was kind of hard because that's my parent at the end of the day. And then realizing that you're the adult in the situation. So it's almost like role reversal. And that has a weird one to get your head around
I think there's like landmark moments throughout your life. So I remember when I realized my parents were getting older.
So
my dad was in the army, my mom, you know, there were strong adults always in my life. And then I remember they were helping me move once. And my dad would always just be able to do everything. And then I remember seeing him struggling. And I thought, I'm going back to what you were just saying now. I don't know. What I will always say to people is caring isn't for everyone and not everyone can do it. And it's perfectly fine. It is perfectly fine not to be able to acknowledge that you can't do it or you're having difficulty with it.
Yeah.
That's what you mean. And I think, you know, bigging us up, that's where we come in to help support for the bits that you can't do or you find difficult. Do you know what I mean? And there should be support for people because, you know, at the end of the day, carers, I don't know if you know this, but carers save the country £135 billion a year.
And
there's another nickname for carers is that they're the second NHS.
And you know what? And I think that, you know, this whole clapping for NHS and stuff, I think you should have a clap for carers. I think you should have a clap for bus drivers. Like the list of people that have selflessly just given and gone on about their lives as normal for the health of someone else during COVID, during something that can kill you, to me, is mind-blowing sometimes. So,
did you find it easier to acknowledge you're a carer than and to yourself, or did you and then not actually say it to your mates? Or
good question. I think that only through the group, through meeting yourselves, only through the group, you understand it a bit more, because I think caring, especially as a male, it comes with kind of a label that you're this cute kind of old kind of person, looks after people, or you're a bit grey, you're a bit boring, like, you know, all you do is care, you know, you don't have a life. So I'm a hyperactive guy, you know, I have a lot to say, I'm quite active, I'm doing a lot of stuff. So for me, it was kind of, I don't know, maybe it felt like, before I knew it would feel like a step back, because I saw what my mum was doing, like caring for people in the home, and it was quite, not boring, but I'm like, oh, mum, you really have to love the job to do it. And she did have a real passion for it. So I'm like, it's not a job. It's kind of something you just do. So I didn't see it like that. So it's only now I can go, yeah, I'm a carer and I'm cool with saying that, where before it wasn't, I don't know if it was a cool thing or maybe I didn't see it as being such a masculine kind of thing. I've kind of seen it more, I don't know, feminine side, a bit more feminine maybe, but I'm proud to be a carer right now because of the likes of myself.
I mean, I'm always reluctant to say that it, you know, women are, I mean, women, you know, I know this, for every man that comes through the door at a care centre, 9 women come through, if you see what I mean.
Wow.
So, you know what I mean? So it's a much more, and, you know, I do see that, you know, women tend to be the carers. I don't know if that's just an expectation or if there's a natural ability, but I'm reluctant to say that it's more because they're feminine, they're more caring.
Yeah, because, that's, yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to be going down that route because I do think that men can be good carers and men are good carers. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think that they don't talk about it or it's not as talked about or visible as maybe say women. And that's interesting as well because this year's Carers Week theme is about visibility. So to me, yes. So actually while I'm at it, we've been requested, could we have somebody's going to come take some photographs for a particular organization. So I will be wanting to get as many men as well as women to come along and have their photographs. They want positive images of caring.
Yeah, that's that. And I think, do you know what I'm comparing it to? You know, male nurses.
Yes.
So if you're a male nurse, people don't expect to say I'm a nurse. They expect a nurse to be female. And I think that's the way I see carers. That I think that's the way society sees it. Oh, carers are female. But there's also male carers as well. So maybe we can change the word. Maybe that's what this podcast would be about, like changing that perception of carers.
In my 20s, I contemplated becoming a midwife, or as they call it, like midwifery. And the looks and the response I got was, So
mid-mantry, is there? Can you say that? Mid-mantry?
I don't know. Yeah, mid. I know.
Do you want to go see the midman over there? Husband. How's it work? Mid husband.
But I suppose really for men to understand that, you know, you can be caring, you can be really good at it. There's nothing wrong with looking after mum or dad or your sister or brother. Do you know what I mean? And it's good, you know, and no matter.
And there's help.
Yeah.
There's help. Maybe that's the whole. Yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Like we have, you know, you have the Samaritans. Maybe you have a carer's line where you can phone up or get advice or come to the centre, like where you can just generalise. Because I think that men, are we kind of slow on the uptake, or are we slow to admit that there's something? Like are we, you know, if it is a struggle, now I know I can come to the group and go, I'm struggling, or I'm not feeling right, or I feel down because of the situation. And other people go, I've been there, or, you know, next week we've got a meditation set. Like there's such a, I don't know, like a relief that has been taken off my shoulders now. I know there's somewhere I can go, and it's kind of makes it nice.
Actually, interestingly enough, this is just plugging another one of our services. But there is we have an in-house counsellor, a psychologist who specialises in carers and mechanisms for coping and caring. And I actually managed that from a centre point of view about the waiting list and stuff like that. But we do get our fair share of men signing up for counselling. And I think that maybe, you know, about talking and opening up, I think maybe...
Well done.
But I think that might be in the privacy of. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think that's a whole other pod, but counselling, like I had... bereavement counselling because I lost a friend, but also like one of my friends has lost both of his parents, and I was saying to him, go to bereavement counselling because it was a place where you can get it all out, and it's kind of the way I saw it was you sit with someone who's unbiased to your family and you're allowed to talk and get it off your chest, and sometimes they would say nothing to let you talk and other times they would just pick little things apart and then you'd like get it out even more. And I just said to him, and then meeting you when you said there was aftercare of once you've lost, and I like my friend didn't know about this. He's in this borough and didn't know, and I'm like, oh come on. So there is help out there, and thanks to the carer centre we're gonna find out what it is.
Encourage people to come and, you know, just be yourselves, have a laugh, you know. I mean, there's a lot of laughter at the carer centre, you know,
there is,
you know, and you know, that's part of it, You know, laughter is, they say laughter is the best medicine. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So definitely.
And I think being vulnerable and then being able to laugh about it also makes it a bit more humane and easier to get on with instead of just sitting there for an hour crying.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that either. But do you know what I mean? You know, that horses for courses. So, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's, but it's okay as well to.
Yeah.
I think for men to cry, I think it's all to be getting in touch with your emotional side and being in touch with your emotions and being, just because you cry doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you any less of a man, and stress and a situation that you weren't prepared for, because no one tells you about in school about, oh, one day you might be a carer. One day you might have to look after your parents. You know, the parents that breed school every morning, feed you and stuff, you might have to turn, the roles might reverse. And you might become the adult in the situation and they might become the child. And for that, it's that moment when you realise, like you said, when you were, you realise your dad couldn't lift the thing no more. You go, oh, dad, I've got it. That, you know, when you start to go, oh, or a decision or a conversation, you're thinking, I'm leading this conversation here because of the knowledge that I have. So I think that's maybe part of being a carer.
Right. So, summing up, really, it's been great chatting to you, Lloyd. And I do think we should do this more often. What do you think?
I think we should. I think we should.
I think one of the other things that we were sort of talking about when we were thinking about this, we would welcome topics or areas to chat about in future podcasts from other carers if they're really interesting. So they could always email us. And, you know, we look forward to meeting other people, involving other people in our chat.
Yeah, getting specialists in and carers. It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be carers. About everyone. Everyone to do with caring, I believe. Yeah. So don't forget to check out the Carers Centre, Tower Hamlets, Tony's blog.
There's a weekly monthly timetable. And don't forget, one of the other things I will just say is I have to always is big up my colleagues, my team who I work with. I work with them for a long time. Yeah, and the volunteers. You know, it's a well-oiled machine, and it has to.
So let's name some of the great people that you work with that are volunteers that maybe never had a shout out before, and just tell them how great they are and thanks for what they do. Maybe we have a shout out at the end, a carer shout out or volunteer shout out. So you go, Tony. Give us some names and wind down.
I will shout out to our volunteers who hold on to do the reception, who help with projects. So I'm going to start with Tracy. I'm going to start with Lisa, and I'm
going big up Lisa.
Asma, Justina,
Jill.
And I couldn't do it without them. So I think
each time we come in, we're going to have a list. We might have the names, feel out a name of list of great carers or great volunteers that really help and move this thing forward.
That would tie nicely in with my thing that on the blog, which is we're now having this carer's hero. So if you want to nominate a hero that you think warrants being called a carer's hero and featured on the website, then by all means, let us know. Thank you.
And in future, what we could try and do, which I'm just going a bit above myself here, we might be able to interview them. Right. But that's it.
Thank you very much. And
I've been warned by our producer. It's time to end it. So thank you all for listening. See you next time.
Yeah.
Take care.
And good night from him.
Yeah.